Hey, head to 1620thezone.com right now. Make your picks in the basketball championship. Make the right picks, and you could win a grand prize.
All right, we welcome in our food expert who is deep into now the Elite Eight of the Wings bracket. It is Sarah Baker Hansen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I hear you are out in Palm Springs. Is that right?
I am. We landed around midnight last night. Ooh. And got up early to talk to you guys about chicken wings.
Oh, thank you. Hey.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We have to talk about something because so when we got to the second round, there was a great matchup between Crescent Moon and Addie's. Two great places for wings. Crescent Moon right now, along with Finnegan's Pub, they are the Cinderellas.
Yeah.
As Crescent Moon and as a 9 seed and Finnegan's Pub as an 11 seed have both advanced to the Elite Eight. Man, what is Crescent Moon? I don't think I've ever had their wings there.
You know, they're so known for a Reuben. I don't think I've ever had their wings either. I know I've had a burger there. You know, I know I've eaten countless number of Reubens there. I have no recollection of ever trying a chicken wing, and I've never been to Finnegan's Pub. So, you know, I don't know these places, but this is sort of like what's so fun about the bracket is that this year in particular, I think, you know, we knew when we were doing our seeds that we thought the ones and the twos were all pretty strong choices. But then, you know, some places come through that, you know, they either do a social media blast on their own social media, which I've seen several restaurants doing that over the past couple of weeks, or people just really like it. And, you know, it shows up on the list and, you know, then I got to go try it. So, look out, Finnegan.
I'm going to go to, you know, we like to reflect, especially in the tournament, of some of the great matchups, and we're catching our breath on how it finished, like Creighton, Oregon. I think Jukes versus Lighthouse was the Creighton, Oregon. We had like the razor thin margin. I think now that I've been to both. Lighthouse is very good. I will say this. I think the stronger team won. I think Jukes Ale works. You know, I think they prevailed at the end.
I remember when we were talking, I think before the contest even started, about Jukes, and people were talking about those sculpted caramel wings at Jukes, and people are still talking about those. So I don't know. I think it's really interesting. Like, so I wrote, I've written a couple stories so far about wings, and I wrote one yesterday, and it comes out later today. And I can tell you as a preview, it is on the Elite Eight, not planned, just a place I wanted to go try. And one of, you know, there are a couple of things that start to rise to the top when you look at who's moving forward and what they do. Number one is different types of sauces, different flavors of sauces, and sauces that are all homemade. Like, there's a great quote in the story, you know, we don't use Frank's Red Hot and Butter. Like, we are making these sauces from scratch, and there's a lot of ingredients and a lot of thought that goes into them. And number two, they are cooking their chicken wings, like, from raw directly into the fryer. And then if it's charbuffed, they're, you know, pulling it out, putting sauce on it, putting it directly on the grill. Like, they aren't using, there's a lot of restaurants, I didn't know this, but from what I've learned from doing all these interviews is that there's a lot of restaurants who basically par cook their wings. And then when you order the wings, you know, they finish cooking it, but it's already been sort of cooked, you know, a little bit already. And the place I wrote about today, and also Everett's, that isn't even on their game plan. Like, they're not doing that. They're making everything from scratch. You know, at Everett's, they're brining the wings for 24 hours, which I think they may be, I mean, I don't want to say this for a full, an absolute fact, but from what I've gathered, they are the only ones doing this brine step. And I do think that in terms of the flavor, not of the sauce, but of the actual chicken, there's a big difference with that step.
If we were doing a Vegas line, who would be well, I can't ask you this because you're kind of intimately involved. Tracks Lounge against the Salty Dog.
That one is really, I said last night on Twitter, it's giving me heartburn. It really is. Like, I don't even know who to vote for, Tracks versus Salty Dog. I really don't know. And Salty Dog was one that I had never been to, maybe heard of, but it wasn't really on my radar, and I'll spoiler alert, I've got some Salty Dog content coming this week.
Okay.
So it was recommended to me by several, I guess I'll call them chefy types, who really liked it. And they are also doing something fairly individual that I'll talk about later this week.
So I will admit, one of the number one seeds, and we talked about that matchup with Jukes Aleworks, is Everett's. Mm-hmm. I have yet to experience Everett's. And so when we look at the city, like a lot of these places that we all know, and I think some of us know the majority of them, some of us know some, and they're going to push them through as much as we can. They have that signature. And you were talking about Jukes with the salted caramel wings. What Everett's, yeah. what is like, is it just doing wings really, really good? Or do they have a signature, like a standout that comes with Everett's?
You know, they have a lot of sauces. Mm-hmm. They also do a thing. I talked to the owner when my review came out. They do a thing, a sauce drop. And so I think it's like once a week or every couple of weeks, mm-hmm. they just make up a sauce and they put it on the menu. And, you know, it's a brand new sauce. So, you know, I think they also have, and this is a thing that I think also happens in sort of like the world of buffalo wing lovers, where it's not, the wing isn't just dipped in one sauce. It's dipped in two sauces. So the two that I had heard the most about at Everett's were the Bubba wings and the Saucy Rossi wings.
Okay.
So the Saucy Rossi wings are made with 2/3 medium hot sauce and 1/3 barbecue sauce. So remember, all of these sauces are homemade. They aren't like squirting, you know, a pre-bought bottle of sauce in with barbecue sauce. So there's this like, the hot sauce is like really vinegary, but then the barbecue sauce is sweeter. So it's kind of got this sweet, spicy thing going on.
Yeah.
But I will assure you that if you like spicy, this wing, the burn builds as you are eating the wings. So you're eating them and you're thinking like, oh, sweet, spicy, like I really like this. And then you're like four wings in and you're like, holy crap, my mouth is like burning hot. So, I mean, there is, you know, that's, I think that kind of creativity, the Bubba is another one where they toss the wings in their medium hot sauce, then they grill them.
Okay.
Then they dip them in a second time with this chunky garlic Parmesan sauce.
Oh, dang.
And so there's like cheese on the outside of it and visible like pieces of garlic. And that one was my favorite. That was so good. Just really, I don't know, deeply savory, a different color. With fresh herbs on the top of it and, you know, obviously the homemade ranch and the homemade blue cheese.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we also tried the classic wings. But those two specialty wings, I think to me, I got it immediately of why people really like Everett. And I will also say we went back because I wanted to try, I just was curious because I was like, if they're going to take this much time and care what's with chicken wings, like what's their burger like? And their burger is really good. And so are their fries. They hand cut their fries. You know, they sort through all their wings and they divide them out by size. And so they have a Wing Wednesday special where it's 10 wings for $10. And so the smaller, quote unquote, smaller of the very big wings are like on that Wednesday special. And then their regular wings are like the biggest of the wings. So I feel like, you know, when you think about, I don't know about everybody, when I think about buffalo wings, I don't think that people are going to be taking that much time and care. I kind of think of it as like, dump it in the fryer, slap some sauce on it. Here you go. And they are really taking it to like a chef inspired bar food level with all this additional stuff that they've done. And I think that's why they're so incredibly popular.
For people who don't know, Everett's is what? Oh, 90th and Maple?
Yeah, right around 90th and Maple.
Yeah, 88th and Maple.
Yeah.
And I know.
Yeah, I've never been to it before this either. So
I've been
new
there
to me as well.
I've been there a couple of times. One of their appetizers that is super popular, and I'm not a fan of it, but a lot of people get Brussels sprouts. But I know. So you brought up the Bubba. And I know they explain how it got its name. What, if I remember correctly, the first person that was ever a customer there, he called everybody from the
Bubba.
Yeah, from the waitresses to the owner, like Bubba. And so they named a wing after him. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Saucy Rossi is named after, so the restaurant's next door to a bar called Broke Down Palace.
Remember
and
the movie.
The name of the owner is Ross, and Saucy Rossi was his invention, and he and one of the owners of Everett's are good friends. And if there's a crowd at Everett's, which there was the first night we went, you write your name on a chalkboard and they encourage you to go like down to the bar and have a beer. So that's what we did. And there's a door in the middle of the two businesses and they open the door and they scream out your name and you are allowed to bring your beer across and order some wings. So it's a really like, you know, it's, cool. it's definitely like got a neighborhood feel to it. Yeah. I think they're really sort of passionate about what they're creating. And yeah, I mean, the owner told me that in previous years when they, when I was not running a wing specific bracket, they've actually done a sauce bracket where they came up with, I don't know how many, eight or something sauces and did a bracket of their own, you know, what, which sauce will win. So people came in and tried all these different sauces and voted for their favorite. So, so they're very familiar with the, the bracketology of chicken wings.
Oscars, I feel like they've just, they've done nothing but just kind of cruise into the elite eight. And when we think of Charbuff, I know there, there's people that will look in there. There's a few options in Omaha.
Yeah,
I don't. I couldn't say this to be 100% accurate, but for me personally, the first time I ever experienced Charbuff wings was Oscars. It was fantastic, and I feel like they're just the go-to staple when it comes to knowing you're going to get a good wing. And hey, if you just so happen to want a good pizza too, there you go, Oscars. I just feel like their reputation is going to carry them, and is and it based on the results here leading up to the Elite Eight, it has carried them.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I mean, I, like you, the first time I ever heard of or tasted a Charbuff wing was at Oscars, and it was when I worked at the Omaha World Herald, and I used to do this series called Food Prowl, and we would go around and, you know, similar to what I've been doing the past month or so, or 3 weeks, I don't even know. My brain is clouded by the amount of wings I've eaten, but we used to go around and try wings, and we went out to Millard, and we went to Oscars, Addie's, Choo Choo Bar and Grill, and Pheasant, and they were all kind of right next to each other, and they all did Charbuff wings, and that was kind of the first experience that I had ever had with, number one, sort of what a kind of like cult following chicken wings in general have, and how passionate people are about them. And so, you know, I kind of have this one sitting in the back of my mind while we went through pizza, burgers, beer, and we knew a while back that that we wanted to do wings at some point. But yeah, I've honestly like really enjoyed this one because I eat out a lot, but I oftentimes do not eat wings. So, you know, it's a thing that I don't know as much about, but I've had a really fun time learning about what makes a chicken wing good versus kind of just basic. And yeah, I'm very excited about the next couple of stories I have coming out. And we'll have crowned a winner by the time we talk next. I will be back to non-chicken wing content, but I still have some good stuff coming out. So and a couple places I'm really excited about.
Great stuff. A couple more days to vote in the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four will be March 30th through the 3rd, and then the championship 3rd through the 8th. We're down to the Elite Eight. These are some great places, and I'm glad that everybody's gotten involved, and now people are getting fired up, and I look forward to see what we get for the Final Four.
Me too, for sure. Don't forget to put in your votes at wingsbracket.com, a URL that I still cannot believe I actually own, but I do.
That is kind of crazy.
Hey, enjoy California. We appreciate it as always, and this has been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the next couple of rounds.
Me too. Thanks a lot.
That's Sarah Baker Hansen. Again, Wings Bracket, or you can go to sarahbakerhansen.com/wings. Here are the Elite Eight, Everett's against Jukes Aleworks. Then you have Ray's Wings and Pizza in Midtown against Crescent Moon. So Midtown on Midtown.
Yeah.
Oscars against Finnegan's Pub. And then Trax. This is Nebraska against Iowa. Trax in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Against the Salty Dog.
And the Salty Dog.
Now, the one thing I do like about some of these places are like holes in the wall.
Yeah.
Like you don't go into Trax and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to take all my friends that have these $600 suits. You go in there and it's like, this place, like, I'm going to drink beer and I'm going to eat wings. And on the small television, I'm going to watch my sports.
Yep.
And I'm going to sit at the bar or I'm going to sit at one of the tables where you're like crunched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Hey, the Trax against the Salty Dog. Let's go, Nebraska. Don't let those Iowans. Even though Salty Dog is really good,
it is
beat Trax because Trax is a deserved one seed.
I got to admit, the biggest upset probably was a 10-2. That was the Watering Hole coming in as a 2 seed in the round of 32, losing to Timber Creek. Now, I've never been to Timber Creek. I've been to the Watering Hole, and I know we talked about when the true definition of a hole in the wall bar, and then it got a little fancy, but the wings are still great. That was it's a pretty significant upset there with Watering Hole not making it out of the second round.
Hey, our good friends at Oscars, they're great partners here at NRG and especially on 1620.
They're so damn good.
When you think of Oscars, do you think of their wings or their pizza?
I think of the wings.
Wings.
Okay.
Yeah, the first
and
time
I like
ever.
I like their pizza.
I do too. I think their pizza is outstanding. The
Big
O,
Big
O is. Yep, the Big O is great. Damn. But the first time I ever had Charbuff wings was at Oscars. And I think it was right around this time. We were watching some games and somebody had the wings. It smelled really good, so we got those on top of a pizza. And as much as I like the pizza, I walked away thinking the wings were better.
Oh, man. That's actually when we first moved here, the place where we did our coaches show in Lawrence had Charbuff wings. That's the first place I ever had them. So I discovered Oscars when we moved here. I was like, oh, wings followed us to Omaha. So.
Well, here's the best.
I'm a big fan.
Best way to describe when we had our Husker Roundtable this year.
Yeah.
And then we all had our lunch at Oscars. I went with the wings instead of the pizza. I could have enjoyed a pizza, would have been more than happy with that, but yep, I had to go to the wings. I don't even think I had to even give the menu a glance. I knew exactly what I wanted.
Nate writes into the Equitable Bank inbox. I'm not going to mention which of the eight restaurants. He said blank is known more for their mozzarella sticks than their wings.
I'm trying to so I've never been to Everett.
Let's just stop here.
Okay.
If you are known for your mozzarella sticks, turn the lights out.
But I also want to know how and why.
You can have quality mozzarella sticks,
yeah.
But if mozzarella sticks are greater than anything else, I don't know that that's a winning business model.
Unless you're someone who just really likes mozzarella sticks and that for some reason stood out to you. Because I know of a pizza joint that I really like. I like their pizza. If you get a side of their mozzarella sticks, you're going to enjoy those as well. But it's not the reason I go to that place.
Now, is there any place that you know of anybody that goes, you know what? Let's go there because of their mozzarella sticks that is not named like TGI Fridays or Applebee's.
Yeah, no.
The mini corn dogs.
No.
I was once told by a five-year-old to go have mini corn dogs at a Red Robin.
I guarantee you somebody is going to clap back at me on this one. But you can't really screw up mozzarella sticks.
You can screw up anything.
If you don't cook them well enough.
Well, but most restaurants, you got a fryer. It's pretty tough to screw those up.
I mean, the fryer around a piece of string cheese is fried.
I feel like even on its worst day, it's edible. It's adequate.
Yeah.
Just go to an Applebee's. You want mozzarella sticks? Go to Applebee's.
I just want to know how good are these mozzarella sticks if someone would say that.
Yeah.
I'm here to listen to all food
takes. I've
been
to five of these eight. I don't know that they're known for their mozzarella sticks.
I just had a buddy just say that he goes to certain places for their fried pickles.
Oh, yeah.
He'll seek out a place for their
Omaha,
fried pickles.
Omaha is a top-notch fried pickle town.
Hmm. Corn nuggets, I've heard of that.
I make the same reaction. There's a texture thing when you bite into it and it's like creamy. That weirds me out.
A couple things also here. Dave Starman's going to join us in just a bit with his thoughts on Minnesota and Omaha tonight.
In
Sioux Falls, yeah.
I bet he likes a wing or two.
He strikes me as a wing guy.
Oh, yeah, but I bet he's got good ones.
Because he's a Michigander, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Spends a lot of time in the East Coast.
Doug writes into his own inbox and goes third person.
He
unfortunately,
did.
Doug isn't going to Detroit.
I love that he went third person.
Somebody has to keep working and answering the phones. Very tough game for the Jays. If the refs rediscover the theory of verticality for the Iowa State game, then Shannon won't get all those foul calls for hurling his body into defenders. If not, Iowa State is in trouble. Illinois, weird, doesn't make sense. First time they've been in the Sweet 16 since 2005.
Yeah.
UConn looks unbeatable right now, but that may be why they lose.
UNLV looked unbeatable in 91.
And then Duke came along.
Yep.
North Carolina quietly looking like the best bet right now to win it all.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Literally the first time I've heard that.
RJ Davis greater than Mark Sears. That'll be a good matchup today.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a high-scoring game. Here's the thing that if you're thinking about Alabama pulling the upset, Nate Oates is on a run here at Alabama in the tournament when they play Power 6 schools. Their three-point shooting goes out the window.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. That could be a very high-scoring game. Here's the thing that worries me about Iowa State tonight playing in the Sweet 16 against Illinois, and you have the number one defense against the number one offense, Iowa State, Illinois, respectively, is the total is 146 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So that says...
Low-scoring game. Well,
no, high-scoring game. Which does not favor Iowa State.
That doesn't favor Iowa State, yeah. But it's, I mean, we're looking at a game that's going to be played in the 70s. I don't know. The college basketball game, I still think 80s is your high scoring game.
But,
yeah. I don't know. I like Iowa State, and I like them. I like the under. I've been saying that all week. But I do think this is going to come down to – Doug makes an interesting point, but it's – The Shannon impact of what he's able to do early in this game. I'm really, especially the time that TJ Otzelberger's had to prepare and work out a game plan to defend guys like Shannon, and then what they have around him complimentary. I think Hawkins is also a problem. I think that is going to be a really fascinating game plan on how they go about attacking that type of lineup. And you know, yeah, give some love to Domask too. He's a player too. He ignites that offense a little bit as well. There's a lot of things to account for.
He's a game changing transfer. I give Brad Underwood, who is, you know, very volatile. He constructed that roster really well. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Iowa State can win a game that gets into the 70s against Illinois.
That wouldn't be ideal, though.
All right, Dave Starman coming up next. We'll talk some college hockey. It begins tonight for Omaha in Sioux Falls against Minnesota. That's coming up next.